Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and like all the other women in my life, this one keeps standing me up, but I finally tracked her down. and I found her, Tracy Burns, now of Wine on the Street, but formerly of Fox, formerly of The Street, author, talented. She's got everything, but we'll get everything she got from her after we start talking to her. Tracy, what's up?
It's so great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm great. So it's, you know, I'm trying to track you down, and, you know, I had so much fun with you when we were on Fox together, and you were on the other side of the panel, because you'd always come up with these little snippets, and, you know, you're pretty feisty. I think that must be the Scarlet Knight coming out in you, but, you know, it's great, and I'm glad I got a hold of you, and I know that you're in a brand new venture now, and you've got, I know you have only very few opinions on a few things, but I know you've got opinions on everything. Yeah. So, Tracy, first of all, tell us what you've been doing, and tell us about Wine. It's wineonthestreet.com, I believe, and it's not W-H-I-N-E. It's actually Wine, real wine. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was at Fox, I started a little online web show for foxnews.com called Wine With Me, wrote a column, and just started interviewing people. You know, back when I got separated, probably 10 years ago now, I made a legitimate bucket list. And one of the things on my list was to learn about wine, because I knew nothing. And here I am 10 years later, I still don't know much. But what I've learned is that the beauty of it is that you have to keep drinking it in order to figure it out. So that's been a really fun journey. But I started doing this at Fox. And when I left, I was doing some radio stuff, and I was working with the Fox News.com guys, and they were all like, don't let this go. This is an amazing little thing you built here. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I am going to keep doing it. And so I launched my little website. I'm actually also editor-in-chief at Bottle Notes. We put out a newsletter a couple times a week. It's called The Sip. So I'm doing a bunch of wine writing, and I'm really loving it. It's a really fun little world.
Well, you keep drinking, so how could you not? You know, I know wine. You know wine. I remember. It's not, you're too young to remember this, but I remember Boone's Farm. That was my wine, right?
Of course. And we drank, you know, Box Riuniti, and I mean, you name it. It's come a long way. Which, what I find so fascinating, I guess, because I do have this business side of my brain, is that there's a whole underground economy that's been created in the wine world. So people are making apps. People are figuring out different ways to distribute. You know, the laws are still like archaic. I mean, it's back to the prohibition times for some states where you can't cross borders. So people are getting really creative, very entrepreneurial. There's a bunch of like young people coming up the ranks doing some super fun things. And I actually found that angle of it so interesting. Because people are creating jobs in an industry that they love, and I just think that's inspiring.
Now, you know, I saw you, one of your articles on your website was, you know, obviously everybody, if you ever had a screw up bottle of wine, that was like taboo. You couldn't do that. That wasn't, you weren't classy enough, but you say now that's good, screw up bottles, is that right?
Yeah, they're making great wines these days with screw caps. Look, a lot of people are, you know, there's 101 reasons nowadays why corks are not as great. There's the whole carbon footprint thing that people worry about. There's, you know, corks can be, they call them tainted, and basically it like just it lets this really awful smell seep into the wine and ruins the wine. So there's, you know, people are trying new things. There's synthetic corks out there, and then there's the screw top. I think the screw top was created for single mothers like myself, because you can pour a glass, close it up, and put it back on the counter. But there are so many, you know, and I have no problem calling them wine snobs, because that's what they are. There are wine snobs out there that won't touch a screw cap. But I'll tell you what, more and more bottles are going to show up using this. The only downside to it is you can't age. You know, if you're one of those people that has a cellar and you want to keep wine for the next 20 years, the screw cap is not for you. For someone like me who like barely makes it home from the wine shop, you know, and wants to open the bottle, it's the perfect top.
Well, it goes. That's the one that goes in the brown paper bag, right? In case you can't get home all the way.
Thank thankfully, it's much better than the wines we used to drink out of brown paper bags. The wines are good. I say go give them a shot.
No, I'm with you. Look, I'm not a wine connoisseur at all, and I know you are, or you're learning to be one. But so there are a lot of wine snobs. You know, of course, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. I mean, he's a wine snob. Do they have a legitimate case as well?
Of course they do. And look, Kevin's wine is not very... Kevin puts wine out. It's not that expensive. Like, so he's not pricing his wine. I mean, I think his wine's like $20 a bottle. He's not doing that. And do they have a case? Absolutely. I mean, look, you can make an argument that some bottles appreciate more than this market has lately. I mean, there's some great bottles out there that have seen like 100% appreciation over the last 5 years. And I dare you to find a stock in the market that did that. You can't. So there's something to be said about it. The upshot is that if they don't appreciate it, you can always drink them.
Well, that's right, because you'd be so depressed, you could just swallow it down and get hammered. So is aging wine, does it taste better? I mean, like I said, I don't have a palate for that, right? So is aged wine better? I mean, can you tell the difference?
Yeah, you totally can. And look, it's an acquired taste. I personally like them young. And that came out wrong.
No, it didn't. It came out perfect. That's a Tracy Burns that we know from being on the panel. That's exactly what it came out with.
I like my wines young as well, because I like it. They're like a little fruitier when they're younger. When they get older, they taste more. They have like this older, almost like basement taste to them. They age. But it's an acquired taste. People love it. And so there's something to be said for it. And if it's something you like, then make sure you store these wines properly and have a lot of patience.
So let me ask you this question about the wine. So now, okay, you made a statement, and I can understand it, right? But now, are these people just snobs, and they, because they can buy expensive wine, they're buying it, and they're just acquiring the taste? I mean, you know, scotch is an acquired taste, too. I mean, you know, a lot of alcohol is an acquired taste. Do you think that they're doing it more because they really are learning to enjoy it, or they're doing it because they can go out with somebody and order a $100 bottle of wine, or two, whatever the number is, $1,000 bottle of wine, doesn't matter?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I say wine snobs lovingly because I know many of them. Like, I know them, I have family members. So it's no insult. Nobody come back to me and, you know, say nasty things. Like, but that being said, I do think that there's a whole group of people out there who have no idea about wine, but yet will be, like you said, the first person to sit down and order the $250 bottle. There are people that legitimately know what they're doing, but unfortunately, a lot of that kind of like show off, I'm going to spend money on wine even though I don't get it, has pushed prices up like anything else. And many wines have become almost unattainable for, you know, little schmoes like me. So they, much like you push a stock price up, they're doing the same in the wine world. And a bunch of wines are just getting harder and harder to drink on a regular basis. So there's been a lot of appreciation, actually, in it as well. And that makes the case, I suppose, for keeping it.
Well, I mean, I think it's, look at it, I think you can keep wine. Look at it, it's an investment like anything else. If you're not looking to drink it, or if you're looking to drink it, but you can buy it for whatever today and drink it 5 years from now, it's worth a lot more. You feel a hell of a lot better about your investment as you wash it down. But the only problem with it is that once it goes in, it has no more value. You can't recreate it. You know what I mean? So
that's absolutely true. The beauty of it, though, is that there are so many more people into it. So there's auctions. Like, there's always, oftentimes, right? There's a buyer and seller for most stocks out there in the market. It's harder to sell your wine. You hold it for 20 years. You got to find a buyer, right? But the beauty is there are auctions out there now, and there are people, believe it or not, making a living buying and selling wine. They don't drink it. They don't open it. They do nothing. They just buy it and sell it.
I do believe it because, I mean, again, listen. You know, if we could get the Federal Reserve out of the markets, we could have a lot more entrepreneurial spirit, and we'd have a lot more free market capitalism. But we'll get back to, we'll get more of this when we come back from the break. We are with Tracy Burns from Wine on the Street, not wine, Wine on the Street, wineonthestreet.com. And I'm telling you, she's a pistol. I love her, and I can't wait to talk more to her. We're going to stop out here for a break. Make sure, if you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge. And we're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be back with more with Tracy Burns after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back.
It's the time of the season.
Welcome back. back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Tracy Burns from WineOnTheStreet.com. She is a wine enthusiast, and she's got wine from the paper bag all the way to the million-dollar bottle, and talking about investing in wine and doing all these things. So let me ask you a question. This is one thing. Now, I happen to know that you were an accountant when you first started. Okay, how the hell?
Yes.
How the hell is something with your personality ever end up as an accountant?
You know, the truth is, I was directionless when I got out of college. I majored in English and economics, which qualified me to do nothing. And my mother, an old school Sicilian, said, "He who knows the books knows the business." That is a direct quote. And she's like, "You'll always have a job." And so I went and got my MBA in accounting. Miserable every single day of it, but I did it because, well, I committed to it, and she wasn't wrong. It actually ended up being something that carried me all the way to Fox. I mean, so I did the accounting thing for a while, and then I wanted to write. I still love the writing world, and the first writing job I could get was in the financial world. So I was writing about the markets, and then I started writing about taxes, believe it or not, because it was something I understood, and I was able to, like, articulate it to people without, you know, blowing their heads off, and it was always something that worked for me. So when I came in and out of the workforce, I had kids or whatever, it was always something I could fall back on. I freelanced as a tax writer for a while. Like, it's great. It's a great job. And I know in the back of my head that if all else fails and, like, I run out of wine, I could always go do tax returns and feed my kids.
No, that's true. And, you know, that is funny, but it is actually very true. I mean, it's the accounting. You can always, listen, you can put a shingle on your garage, right? I mean, and
right.
work from there if you have to. So you also wrote a book, okay?
Yeah.
And Break Down Your Money, Get Beyond the Noise, right?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm an old man. I mean, you know, I know you like him young. I'm surprised you're on with me because I'm old, you're young. So, you know, tell us about the book and how was it? Was it successful? Did you enjoy doing it? Is it a good project? Would you write another one?
It was the most arduous process probably of my life. Loneliest process. Like, kudos to every book writer out there. I learned so much about the book industry, the editing process. It was hard. It was really hard. The writing per se, not so hard, but the process and the loneliness and the amount of time you have to go back and edit, it's not easy. I don't know how people bang these books out all day long. Like, I don't know if I'd ever do it again. I don't know. The truth is, I don't know who reads books anymore. I feel like the world is so frenetic that you can barely get people to read 140 characters on Twitter. So I'm not sure what the demand is anymore for books. I don't know. But yeah. I did it, and again, it was on my bucket list.
Well, no, that's cool.
I mean, yes.
It's very exciting that you did that. So what would you, you did that, and you obviously have a pretty advanced financial background from being in the business all the time, and you've done a lot of things, but, you know, we see today a lot of, you know, I call it a Ponzi scheme. I call the Federal Reserve the legalized Ponzi scheme. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think it's going to be so hard to return to the way it was, right? You know, the whole notion of, like, free money, and God forbid something happens, we go back to the well for more free money. I don't think this is the right way to get, you know, to quote unquote make America great again. I think this is, it's all going to come back to bite us. And, you know, I kind of feel like it is already. Like, we still keep hearing of people getting laid off. We still keep hearing, you know, the numbers are not great. The market can't get out of its own way. I think it is still, it's still hurting us. And it blows my head off sometimes that they don't see that. Like, you almost want to just send the members of the Fed out on an extended vacation and just say, we got this. But they're in it so deep. I find it very discouraging.
Well, you know, we've heard, you know, Ron Paul say end the Fed, okay, or audit the Fed. I was always a fence sitter. I could never really make up my mind. And in 08, when they bailed out the banks, I was kind of on the fence. And as I watched this movie go forward, I'm really sorry that they did bail out the banks, because the truth of the matter is the banks and the government are the ones who caused the problem in the first place by allowing it to happen. And you and me, the taxpayer, are actually paying for it. So I'm now against the Federal Reserve. I'm an end the Fed kind of person now, because I think that the abilities that they have to manipulate the economies is very bad. Do you have any opinion towards that?
I feel like they're doing nothing, though. Like, I kind of feel like it's dead weight right now. And I'm with you. I don't know what the Fed is doing for us other than making things worse. Just pull the damn trigger already. Like, you know, even if the sky falls out or the earth falls to pieces like everyone says it will, we will survive it. I really do think that. I mean, it can't be any worse than what we've been through. I mean, we've had some wicked market ups and downs lately. We've survived that, no problem. So, you know, shut the spigot off, go away, and let's see how this whole thing works out. But I can't imagine anyone having the political spine to actually do that.
Well, no, you're right. Well, that's the other problem. Government's gotten way too big. But I got to go back on topic, because, you know, I get these things popping in my mind and I'm just kind of doing my thing. But so I want to go back to your book for a minute. So if somebody out there is deciding to write a book right now, okay, what advice would you give somebody who would want to write a book? What would be your advice to them?
Oh, wow. Put time in your calendar as if it's your job. You need X amount of hours every day devoted to this project, because if you don't, you got to think of it that way. Otherwise, I think it's a very hard thing to do, because life is very busy and there's so many things going on. So put 2 or 3 hours a day in your calendar. I think you have to be in love, literally in love with the topic you're writing about, because it is going to take over your world. Was I in love with it? Yeah, I was, but I don't know. Towards the end, I hated it. Towards the end, the only thing that I loved was writing the title page, because I dedicated it to my kids. It was a tough slog for me, I got to admit. And now, granted, I was a single mother, newly divorced, 3 little kids screaming at me all day long, so that could have been part of the problem. If I were to, like, you know, eventually buy the wonderful house overlooking the ocean and set myself up a room and write, maybe I would love it. Maybe it would be a different experience.
Well, you know, I think you're a little hyper like I am. I mean, you know, it's hard to kind of sit down there and do all this hard work. So you are a single mother, and that's a challenge in itself. And I know that today you had to go to school for your daughter, I believe. Yes.
Yes. So, yes, it was Ancient Civilization Day. She was representing Mesopotamia. Well done. As Mesopotamia needs to be represented, by the way. I'm not really sure why, but apparently it does.
Unbelievable, right? It's hard because, you know, juggling, you know, there is nothing more important than being with your children and giving them the time, especially when they're young, because you never get that time back, right? So it's important to make sure. So it's very difficult when you're a single mom having to find all the time to put these into your schedule, which obviously fits into what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, although, I mean, there's something to be said about this whole entrepreneurial economy, I think, that's being created, because I think more people get it. I think, like, especially the younger generation coming up, I think they've watched their parents work too damn much. I mean, miss everything under the sun, right? So they don't want that. You know, I think the millennials and that whole generation get slammed, but they really, there's so many great things about them, too. Like, and I think one of them is, they want to do it on their own. They've seen too many people get laid off, and they have a little bit more quality of life involved in their schedule than we ever did. And I think that's really important. I do think that you wake up one day and you're like, damn, I've missed like 40 baseball games. That's dumb. I'm never missing one of my son's games again. And so, because like you said, you don't get that back, you know, soon enough they're gone. And that's not why we have kids. We don't have kids to miss it. Like, I have kids because I want to be in it.
Right, because you're an old-fashioned Sicilian. You get it. I mean, you know, it's family.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean,
yes, you're absolutely right.
It's all, look, I'll give you, as we come up to a break here, but I've got two kids. They're both in college now, okay? But I coached. I never missed a game ever. In fact, I arranged some of my webinars around my son's game, and at the end I got screwed because they didn't play games on Mondays then, so I made one of my webinars on Monday, and of course, then they started playing games on Monday. But I always managed to sneak out there. But even today, he plays in college, and I still get to his games whenever I cancel. A little bit more of a challenge now, but I do get there, and I think that parenting and taking care of kids is the most important thing, because that's why you have them, and you make them better people. But nobody could be as good as my gal Tracy Burns, though. WineOnTheStreet.com. You got to go check out WineOnTheStreet.com while you're here. You know, if not, we'll send you the brown paper bag to go with it. But go check out this. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with Tracy Burns of WineOnTheStreet.com. If you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. You can go download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back after the break with more from Tracy Burns after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Tracy Burns, WineOnTheStreet.com. Check it out. This is also Tracy Burns from Fox Business. If you remember, she was the beautiful, snappy one who was always picking on somebody and never relentless. But she always somehow she had a soft spot for me. She always let me go. But so Tracy, you know, I mean, how does it feel, you know, to be kind of couched on, you know, you're being able to voice your opinion in front of a national audience now? I mean, you used to be able to do that all the time. I mean, you were, you know, a regular on the panels, and you were a regular running around, and you know, you could just kind of say what you wanted. And obviously, I've got some clips of things you said, which were pretty cool. So how do you do it now? I mean, you got to have a lot of pent-up energy.
Yeah, but you know what's really cool? And I think it comes with age. You, like, just don't care. I'm like, screw it. I'm going to say what I want to say when I want to say it, and I do it. And you know, it's funny. I work from home now, and you mentioned that we both have energy. I got to get up. I pace the house. If there were cameras in here and people could see what I do all day long, they would think I was crazy. But I can't sit still, and I do have all this energy. And so then I write, I get up, I walk, I yell at myself, I sit back down. But I think you get to a point where you're like, you know what, judge me, go for it. I don't even care anymore. And it's a pretty liberating place to be, I think.
I think you've done a great job and obviously highly successful. But so, you know, you and I were talking between the break about, you know, one of the websites you're involved with and a trading company has bought it out. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, what I find so intriguing is I've met people like this along the way. So Wall Street, and especially nowadays, like we're talking about, and I hate to call them wine snobs, but, you know, Wall Street guys have money. They get involved in wine. I think wine's the new golf, quite frankly, for Wall Street, because it's like he who has the most expensive cellar kind of thing. But that being said, I met people, you know, I remember back in the day, TPG Energy was an energy hedge fund, and they started dabbling in the wine world. They ended up buying Barringer's, and the guy who ran Barringer's ended up leaving and now has his own fund of vineyards. He just owns vineyards now. And so recently, this private equity firm, Peak Six, out of Chicago, bought up the assets of this website, Bottlenose. And so I've been writing for them. I'm actually editor-in-chief of their newsletter. It's called The Sip. And they're just trying to see what can happen and take it to the next level and try some interesting stuff. You know, they're talking about the direct-to-consumer angle as well, because the distribution channels are so hard. I mean, you know, in every industry, there's all these ridiculous middlemen, and again, the beauty of like the entrepreneurial world is that they're everyone's trying to cut out the middleman along the way, right? You want to cut costs, cut the BS, and just get me the products I need when I need them. And that's what they're thinking, you know, they're talking about doing. Like, there's so many great little vineyards that are just don't have the money for representation, distribution, marketing. They don't have it. So let's see if we can help get them direct to consumer and get more people drinking wine. I think if more people drank wine, the world would be a better place.
Oh, I agree with that as well. wouldn't that go into, again, you know, we hear all the time that the economy is doing so well, and I say it sucks. Everything is great,
yes,
and
too.
I say it sucks. I think the middle class has never left the recession. And because of all the regulation and crap that we're now getting now and compliance and all this other stuff, it's hard for a small guy to make any money because you got to spend so much to defend against potential rules violations that you end up broke anyways before you get started. And you can't borrow money from the banks because they're not giving anything away. So, I mean, isn't that the whole problem with the entire system, in your opinion?
Yeah, totally. Like, we're strangling our little small businesses that are the engine of our economy. And, you know, whether it be a vineyard out in Oregon or some woman who decides she wants to, you know, sell candles for a living, I think it's unfortunate that they have to jump through so many hurdles and pay so many extraneous costs when all they want to do is just get the job done, get it out there. You know, I remember interviewing tons of small business owners and entrepreneurs and things like that back in my days at Fox and even recently because I wrote for Entrepreneur.com, interviewed CEOs, and these great minds, they actually don't, you know, when they're first starting a business, they don't even think about the regulations. Like, they just want to get out there and conquer the world. And they have these, like, it's like bright-eyed, I'm getting out there, I'm creating this product, and it's going to take over. And then along the way, something happens. Like, they start to realize, well, damn, I got to pay all these, you know, all these regulatory fees, and I gotta make sure I'm audited now, so I gotta pay that, and I gotta make sure my books are okay. And then all of a sudden they've lost the juice of like why they started this. And I think that it is that point that we need to fix. It's that spot where like people wake up and say, "Well, hell, I can't do this anymore because I can't afford all the nonsense that I owe the government." You know, who cares that my whatever widget is game changer? I gotta kill it.
So we gotta fix the juice spot, right? Is that what we're saying? I mean,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
I mean, totally. Well, you know, well, think about it this way. And this is serious. When somebody goes into business, you've got, like, if you're in the financial business, you got to have 92 licenses. You can't say anything until they give you approval. In the meantime, the regulators always go after the low hanging fruit because they can't go after the JP Morgans or Goldman Sachs because they tell them to go scratch and walk out the door because they don't have to listen to them because, first of all, JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs own part of the Federal Reserve anyways. So, well, it's true. I mean, again, those are facts. Those aren't disputable. Some of the things I say are disputable, but those aren't. But, you know, I mean, when the whale trade in JP Morgan, when they got lost $5 billion, okay, and then they fessed up and they paid the fine. And I go, really? You think that it's like going out and it's the first time I ever did it? You think that's the first time that guy ever made that trade? He probably made it 100 times and probably made $500 billion and he got caught once. So they fired him and probably paid him off anyways and gave him a big fee to run away. And they didn't get anything. They had nobody up their ass. Like, now you're a little guy, you know, who has to go through compliance. I mean, I don't know how anybody can operate because you got to hire a compliance officer for $100,000 a year, taking away your profits. I mean, it's almost impossible today to be in that industry without millions of dollars and a big staff because you have to be able to defend against all these regulation industries. Yes.
Yes. And I think, but I also think that the big banks too, like those guys, you know, their hands are tied too. Every other day, those guys are taking compliance tests, right? And every other day, they have to follow rules. Like, they can't get creative with their clients anymore. They have to, you know, because they're being watched. What the government has done to the financial industry is quite frankly, it's horrible. And it strangles them, and it therefore strangles savers and people that want to, you know, attempt to put money aside for their retirement because there's all these rules and regulations that trickle down to the little guy. This notion that they keep talking about taxing 401ks and you know, increasing the fees and things like that, you're just hurting people like us that are trying to make ends meet at the end of the day and want to make sure that I don't live in a refrigerator box when I retire.
Well, you know, but you'd have a fancy one though if you did. I mean,
I'm hoping it's like this double sized box, so at least I can have like a little wine fridge in my little retirement shack.
You know, it's kind of like your first car. You know, I mean, you and I have a lot of common because I know what your first car was, but before I say it, my first car ever was a 1968 Camaro.
Was it really?
Yep, fire engine red, convertible.
So I was 87 convertible, battleship gray T-top.
Right. Well, you were 17 or whatever when you got yours, and I was 16 when I got mine. So we're the same age, got the same car. How do you like them apples?
I know. It's so. But it was like, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I couldn't even believe my mother went there. I really thought I was going to be driving like the, you know, four-door boat in the beginning. But yeah, my mother went there. It was amazing. And you know, Jersey girls need the T-tops because your hair doesn't fit. So. I think that they made that car specifically for us because, well, we single-handedly killed the ozone layer, so we needed the space.
I got that. So Tracy, so we've got a real mess. You and I both agree on that. And when we come back in the last segment, I want to talk about the mess. But, you know, what are you thinking, you know, for our kids right now? Are you worried about the future for the children?
Yeah. You know what I'm worried about? That no one wants to go work on Wall Street. That worries me. Like, why is it so bad? The stigma of Wall Street worries me. And it's probably because I'm old and coming out of grad school, we couldn't get there fast enough. Like, I wanted a corner office. I wanted to work there and be a part of that. And it's like taboo now. It's really terrible that people don't think about it. Kids don't think about it. Finance majors are, you know, falling by the second. Accounting majors are disappearing. And again, somebody's got to keep the books at the end of the day. Like, someone has to do this. But we have vilified this entire industry, and it will come back to bite us because we need a banking system, and we need smart people to run it.
Well, listen, we need a banking system that treats all the bankers fairly, too, because really what's happening now is the small guys get squished because they pay a much bigger fee, just even for the FDIC insurance. They pay a much larger percentage of theirs. And the truth of the matter is banks don't have the money anyways. You know, when they're creating money, which is one of the problems we have in this country, is we have banks that are allowed to create money out of thin air because they can lend out 9-1. It creates a much bigger problem because they don't have enough in their vaults, even based on the original charter that allowed them to do this. So it becomes a much bigger problem that, you know, I see as something that will be the next crash or the next market meltdown, which will be one. There always is. Look, the markets will go up eventually, but there's going to be another meltdown. But Tracy and I will talk about that when we come back from the break. We are with Tracy Burns from Wine on the Street. Sometimes wine, no, always wineonthestreet.com. And she's got, you got to check her out. I mean, you can hear her energy and how hard she works at it. And so make sure you check out wineonthestreet.com. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com as well. I do a lot of writing there for you. I've got a lot of great courses and curriculums that I like to do because, as you guys know, I have also my high school investing program, which I do donate to the high schools. But you missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm, download The Bubba Show, and we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more from Tracy Burns after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Tracy Burns. Oh, Tracy. Tracy Burns, wineonthestreet.com. Again, her and I have a special relationship because we were always on. I was always on the panel with her at after the bell at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock Central Time. But she was all over Fox and all over everywhere. And you could always tell her in the room because she lit up every room she came to because she was always ready to snap at somebody. But Tracy, you know, I was talking to you, and you're talking about the youth and nobody wants Wall Street, you know, and I think one of the biggest problems in this country, which is why I started this program, is financial literacy. I mean, I think that we don't teach anybody. I mean, I don't think adults have any clue really anymore. I don't think they learned enough because I don't think our school systems ever decided that financial literacy was important. And I decided, you know, that kids should at least, not that they're going to go out and be traders, But you should understand your own finances. You say work to know the books. I say know your finances. And if you put those two together, you should never be in a bad position, because I know when I went to high school, you could leave high school at Evanston High School in Illinois with either you go be a plumber, an electrician, a woodworker. You could get an apprenticeship because you got enough training through high school, because they offered all those types of courses. They don't offer that anymore. Now it's all this Common Core crap that is just strictly teaching the next test, which is how they get federal funding. And I'm just curious, is what do you think about that?
Yeah, the Common Core needs to go away. It frustrates me that that's what our kids are learning these days. And it frustrates me that they don't have this financial background when they get out of there.
Yep.
I wonder, though, as an outsider, is it the way we recruit teachers? You know, there needs to be a better way to bring people like us in into the classroom without having to go through all the certification crap. Like, there should be some sort of bypass for us. And there's not. Because I think there's a lot of people that would donate a couple hours a day, even, just to like teach them this. But that's just me.
I actually taught my course for 2 years. I volunteered my time and got a pass because I had a teacher with me. But I think it was fun. And I'm a big believer in understanding and learning, because if you don't learn, there's a lot of scam artists on the street that are laying in wait for people that are not knowledgeable, that will take advantage of them very drastically. And, you know, as an ex-trader, you know, I'm still a trader, but as an ex-floor trader, which I was since 1980, I think that there's been a lot of things that people don't understand. And like when Goldman Sachs will come out and make some stupid call on oil, like it's going to zero. And I go, and I'd said on air that, hey, they're not selling it. They're buying. They're letting you sell it so they can buy what you're going to sell. There's a lot of unscrupulous people, Goldman Sachs not being one of them. I mean, they're spoofing the market, but that every market gets spoofed. I don't care what it is. Even the wine market, if somebody's trying to make a market on wine, they're creating a demand for it. So that I have no problem. But I do have a problem with these unscrupulous services out there that promise everything, playing on people's hopes and fears, and they trap them. And I think if people had a little bit more financial literacy and understanding, they wouldn't get trapped like that. What do you think?
Maybe that's the kind of stuff the government should be focused on, right? Get rid of the scam. Stay away from the stuff that's legit. And you know, maybe people would start to focus more on the important stuff, as opposed to, like, I feel like we're hamsters on a wheel some days.
Well, I think that I personally believe, personal opinion, and this is Bubba's opinion, not Tracy's. I believe that the government is part of the problem anyways. I think they're a bigger fraud than anybody. Okay? I don't care which party you pick. That part doesn't matter. I think they're fraudulent on both sides, because why don't they have to use Obamacare for their health care? Why do they get what they get? Why can they have so many multiple terms? And why is it that they can just have the basically the green light, even though they don't own the Fed? It's a private agency, but they have the green light to kind of nudge the Fed to create more money so they can create more debt. I think that's a problem. So I think that the entire government system today is a little bit fraudulent. Do you have any opinion?
I think there's a lot of it going on. Right. I think that
you don't have to have an opinion if you don't want.
I have not all over again.
But, well, I think I personally believe that they're trying to create socialism. I think that's England. You know, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You're pretty smart, but I just learned it. So maybe you are, maybe new. But I mean, England had central banks starting in the 1600s. Did you know that?
No, actually.
That's why England is all socialist. Did you know that Rothschild was one of the big guys who, from England, who helped start our Federal Reserve and was one of the biggest pushers of the Federal Reserve in this country?
Big wine guy, too, by the way.
Oh, there you go. See? Maybe we can get his family to buy some wine, right? So, you know, I mean, it's sad, because we do have the greatest country in the world, America the Beautiful, and we could be so much better. But we allow too many things to slide by, and a lot of that has to do with it's our own fault. And I do personally, I believe this. Let me ask your opinion. I believe that in this country, we will have another revolution at some point. I don't think it'll be soon, but I think at some point, if they keep making too many have-nots, they're going to rise up like they did at the Boston Tea Party. What do you say?
I think you're seeing it, right? I mean, this whole election, people are saying something. People are sick and tired of what's going on. I think that part of the problem, too, with our political system, with all due respect to candidates, we're not attracting the brightest, smartest people in this country because they don't want to deal with the BS of it. So that whole system needs to be fixed. I mean, I have said before, I'm sure you've heard me say it, there should be term limits in Congress. Congressmen should not be in office as long as I've been alive. That's just crazy. So, like, we got to fix that, and we got to get smart people in. Like, why doesn't a guy like Jamie Dimon get down there and do something? Because he doesn't want to deal with the BS.
I agree. The bottom line is the president should be 1 6-year term, because the way they do it now, he spends billions of dollars to get elected, and then he's spending billions of dollars to get reelected, and he don't do jack. And I'm not just talking about Obama. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. Again, they're all the same.
Yeah,
have one CEO, 6 years, you're in, you're out, you're done, and give him a little bit more power to have a little bit more control instead of going through this ridiculous process. I mean, it was just, even as far as when the Republicans said that they were not going to approve any candidate that Barack Obama put forward for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Now, the guy he put forward happened to be a guy that would have walked through like nothing had they had not already stated that. Merrick, I happen to know him. He's my age, and we went to school in the same area, okay? And I know him. So he would have been a walkthrough easily approved if it wasn't because they said they weren't going to approve him. And he was like the sacrificial lamb that Obama threw out there. Obama knew he wasn't going to approve him because he never would have picked a candidate like this. This guy is as dead center as Ronald Reagan was. And of course, that's a problem the way I see it. How about you?
I think the whole system is a problem. You know, I think, and my American history sucks, so I'm going to say this wrong, but like Thomas Jefferson wrote back in the day, one of the things he wrote I'm not going to say Declaration of Independence, that's not it, but he wrote that people should go to Congress and help and then go back to their farm. Like, donate your time, give to your country, and go back to what your job is. This is not your full-time job. And so we need to fix that. And we need to get bright, smart, new minds in there. Otherwise, we're hamsters on a wheel. We're not going anywhere. These people stay, to your point, all they want to do is get reelected. All they want to do is get driven around in nice cars and get good tables at restaurants. That's kind of all they want.
All right, you got 30 seconds. Pump up wine on the street.
Oh, it's so fun. Come hang out. Come read. Come drink. Tell me what you love. And like I said, I think the world would be a better place if more people drank wine.
That is the gospel according to Tracy Burns. You guys got to check her out, wineinthestreet.com. Tracy, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on today. It's a lot of fun.
This was awesome. Anytime.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure if you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast version. You know that I'm over $225,000 a month, and I need to get to $300,000 before I can get to a million. I need your help. Make sure you go download it as well as The Sporting Edge. Make sure you take the time to check out bubbatrading.com. I do a lot of writing, and I do a lot of course, you guys all know I bitch at everything, so you get the fervor when I'm angry. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. That was Tracy Burns from wineinthestreet.com. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.